Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with a hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's start our year off right. Would you join me in shouting, praise the Lord? Be seated, friends. It's great to have you with us on this first Sunday of 2024. We've already had a wonderful early service. Looking forward to this hour together as well. If you are participating online, welcome. Worship with us. Grab your Bible. Participate. Do all the things that we do with us. We would love for you to do so. Please let us know you're there by following the prompts on the screen. We'd love to communicate with you. If you're a guest in the room today, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe it's your fourth or fifth time here. If you've been here a number of times or maybe haven't been in a while, we'd love to know that you're in the room. So would you take the registration inside the conference brochure you received? There's a registration there for today. We'd love it if you'd fill that out and then place it in the offering box as we leave. We will not show up at your house. We would like to send you a gift in the mail and just communicate with you and to be reminded that you're here today if you've been before. So please take time to do that. Our church of the week that we're praying for this week is Bel Air Baptist Church in Boaz. Their pastor is Chet Roden, so we want to pray for them. Our missionaries of the week are J and A. I cannot say the names because they are serving in a couple of very secure and closed countries in the Middle East, but we've been praying for them. You'll find them in all of our information for our in-house information for missionaries, but pray for them as well. And we're so thankful that you're here to worship on this first Sunday of 2024, which means you have 100% attendance for church so far this year. Look at the person next to you. Tell them congratulations. Come on now. It's a blessing. You made it. We can do this. All right. Let's pray together as we continue in worship. Father God, for the past 50 hours, there have been people in this room praying continuously, praying for you to move in power among us this year, praying specifically for people in our faith family, praying for people in their own family, praying for our community, praying for sister churches in the area, praying for our mission partners around the world, praying and inviting and asking the Holy Spirit to move among us. Father, I pray that you would receive these 50 hours of prayer that have been offered up and that now we might walk in the power of who you are and what you're doing among us. Lord, my prayer is that every person in this room would understand we can start our year in spiritual warfare, in prayer, reminding ourselves of what it means to live for you, to serve you, to call on you, to walk in your power. And God, I pray that today, as we begin a new series, as we look at some of the powerful words of Jesus, that we would be reminded those words are for us. But God, as we sing songs of praise to you, like Alive and Breathing, Lord, as we sing songs of praise to you like we're about to sing, and then a hymn of praise to you, Father, my prayer is that every song we sing comes from our heart. My prayer is that every person in the room would be transformed. Don't stir us, but change us. God, as much as there are people in the room who need comfort, they need you more. As much as there are people in the room who need peace, they need you, the giver of peace. As much as there are people in this room who need help, Lord, they need you. You are our hope. So, Father, we come to you and we ask you to move. We pray for Bel Air Baptist. We pray for revival to take place there. We pray that 2024 would be the most incredible year of ministry that church has ever seen, that you would move in power there among them. Father, we pray for Jay and A. Lord, we thank you for their ministry. We thank you for where they're serving and the two or three nations that they serve in. Father, they're in a dark place, but they are a light in that place because of you. So our prayer is for boldness as they share. Our prayer is for provision as they share. And I do pray for their safety as well. Father, for the new believers that are there that would be in great danger if others were to know of their faith, I pray that you would help them to be discipled well, to grow and to live the life you've called them to, and that you would send angels to watch after them and protect them, Father. That's even our prayer today. Father, thank you for the chance to sing to you, to worship you, to lift our hands in praise, to open the Bible. May we not take the next 45 to 50 minutes for granted. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Let's sing it to him.
Shadows. so much, Father, that you never fail. God, as broken and bruised and battered as we are, Father, sometimes we just have long weeks. Sometimes we have a lot of struggles. Sometimes we have a lot of pain, Father. But we are so grateful. We are so grateful to you, Lord. We're so grateful to the peace that surpasses understanding, God. We're so grateful for your Son, Jesus, who we sing about today, God. And just as we are, Father, just as broken and beaten as we are, Lord, you simply ask us to come. Let's sing that together.
Just as I am. Of God.
can be seated here, if you will. Let the choir stay for just a second. Kevin Battles says the Lord's laid a testimony in his heart. And I trust Kevin every time. Every time God's told him to share, it's been something. Kevin, come and share it with us for just a second. Then we're going to sing one verse of that again, if you will. And sir, hold that close, if you will.
In March of 2018, I was working out on Pleasant Hill Cutoff Road, and that's where I met Jesus, out there on Pleasant Hill. My friends, if you don't know Jesus this morning, he'll meet you anywhere. You know, it don't matter where you're at, if you're here, if you're at home. But if you don't know him this morning, let me encourage you, please don't walk out these doors. Can we sing Amazing Grace this morning?
Yes.
Because amazing, by his grace, we're saved.
Amen. And I want to say this, Kevin. By the way, I'll tell you how, man, you know he loves Jesus. He leaks. And Kevin leaks when she shares. It's a blessing to me that I've never seen him share about the Lord changing him and saving him. And if you did not understand what he said, he was working for a power company. He was out in a truck, in a work truck, and the Holy Spirit moved into your life, and you had to get out of that truck, get down on your knees on the side of the road, and give his life to the Lord. And he is imploring you, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, to do the same. And can I tell you, a lady came by the office to see me. She lives in our county. She does not attend our church. I've known her since I was a child, but most of you would not know her. But she came by here at the end of the week and said, and this is what she said, and said, please tell your congregation something Sunday. And she talked about the fact that she had been busy doing things for the Lord in her church that she attends on the other side of the county, and had been busy with holidays and things happening. And in the middle of all of that, her brother, who she was not very close to lately and lives away, became very ill. And in the midst of her busyness, she felt prompted by the Lord to share the gospel with her brother. She wasn't sure about his salvation. And in the midst of her busyness, she just thought she'd have another time to do it, and he passed away. And she came so broken here and sat with me crying and just said, I don't know what you can do for me, but I know what I can do for your congregation. You have to tell them that if the Lord tells them someone to share the gospel with, they have to do it. Not to miss that opportunity. And she was so sincere in sharing that. And actually, what you share in your testimony and what she shared with me this week, that's exactly what we're talking about today in the message in just a little bit. But I do want to take a second right now to stop and say, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, we're going to talk about sharing it with others. But let me talk to you for a second. When Kevin gave his life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit drew him. And the Holy Spirit said, now's the time. And then he responded by getting on his knees and asking God to come and transforming, asking Jesus to save him. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord, he's not standing around saying, let me watch you for a month or two and see how you live. That's not how that works. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Jesus pays the price for us. Jesus brings new life to us. Jesus, his amazing grace. We will swap to amazing grace. Can you do that for us? Can you make that happen? We'll give you a second. Thank you. Sorry. Or Don can do it on the guitar if you prefer. So we're so thankful. We have wonderful musicians. They can swap on a dime or a dollar. We'll give you 10 times that much. But the reality is, I would say this to you, that if you've never received God's amazing grace, let's not wait till the end of the service to have an invitation. Right now, if you're here and you need to give your life to Jesus, there's no more important time to do that on this first Sunday of the year right now. Would you stop and just give your life to him? Now you say, how do I do that? It's you believing that Jesus died for you. The scripture says to repent. What does it mean to repent? It really means to change your mind, but it means to change your direction. It means that we stop and say, Jesus, I have lived for myself. I've tried all the ways to be good, to do myself, to do all those things, but I need you. So I change. I need you to come and invade my soul, you to bring me new life. And Jesus says very specifically that if we call on the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And so I would say to you today to call on him, to trust in him, to let him bring forgiveness and new life to you. So would you bow with me for just a moment with heads bowed? If you're here in this room or you're participating online and you're not certain you have Jesus in your life, maybe you have some doubts of your own, or maybe you know you came here looking for him. Right now, would you stop and give your life to him? Right now, would you stop And I'm going to give you some words, but there's no magic words. It's your heart reflecting something similar to what I'm about to say, which would be, oh, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I ask you to come and change my life, to bring new life to me, Lord, to bring me grace and mercy. I seek to live for you and honor you. Now, those are just my words. It's no special words. It's your heart saying, Jesus, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I want you in my life. I desire to live for you. If that's you right now and you need to repent and give your life to the Lord, would you pray that prayer right now in your own words? Just stop for just a second and ask his grace to come and change you. And with your heads bowed, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask that I can know how to pray for you. If you just gave your life to the Lord, or maybe you've been really walking with some doubt and you settled that today, I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I'm not even going to ask you to come walk down here right now. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask no one to look around but me and Kevin. And Kevin and I are going to look, because I promise you he's a prayer warrior. If he sees your hand up, he's going to pray for you, and so am I. So if you've given your life to the Lord just now, or you need to do so, or you were settling it because you've had some doubt, with nobody else looking around, just shoot your hand right up real high right now so we can see it. Anybody across the room, anyone at all, we can pray for you. Let's pray for those that need to respond to the gospel. Don, lead us in a verse of amazing grace. Let's lift that to the Lord. We've experienced together. Let's sing this together.
Thank you, Father. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you for new life. Lord, today as we talk about sharing our faith with others, I pray that we would be reminded of the grace we've received and the grace you allow us to share with others. God, speak to us, change us, make us more like you. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. God, today may we honor you with your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. The Bible gives us hundreds of statements directly from Jesus himself. There are his thoughts, his commands, his questions for others, his prayers, his encouragement, his judgments, and more. It would be impossible for us to rank them in order of most important, and it would be silly for us to try to say one was least important. Everything Jesus said had value. But what we will do in this series called Jesus Said for the next 5 or 6 weeks is we will look at different statements, one a week, that can greatly impact the way we live our lives and the way we operate as a faith family. So it will be each week something for yourself and something for all of us together. But today, we start really like we try to do every year with the basic foundation of what we're about as a church. We start with the basic foundation of Scripture where Jesus said, go make disciples. Now, that's not surprising to anybody in this room that Jesus said, go. But I want to share with you from the Scripture a part that we leave out sometimes in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has been crucified and he's been resurrected. He has appeared to the disciples in the upper room. He has met with others at different times. He is now back and told the disciples, go to Galilee and meet me there on a mountainside. And he tells them that he's going to give them something important. And he gives them an incredible world-changing conversation. It's not his last conversation with them. This would not be when he tells them what he says in Acts 1:8 to go where he talks about to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But this is what we call the Great Commission. And it's important, but don't miss the first part. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, we know the Great Commission, go and make disciples, but let's not overlook the first verses. Look back at verse 17. It says, and when they worshiped him, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, Jesus had come back to life. He had appeared to the disciples. He had shown himself to them, but yet it says here that some doubted. Now, as I prepared for today's message, I looked at a lot of different commentaries, and every commentator who writes, they pretty much said the same thing, and I pretty much disagree with all of them. Now, it's a little bold for me to say that I disagree, that I'm right, and the commentators are all wrong. I don't mean it that way, but I'm a literalist when it comes to the Scripture, and if the text proof doesn't show something, I think it's hard to make an assumption about it. We do at times, but I'm not sure it's healthy. And almost every commentator wanted to make an assumption that there had to have been many more people there besides the 11, even though Jesus said he told the 11 to meet him here. And in the next sentence, he said they worshiped him and some doubted. The commentators would say it couldn't be one of the 11 who doubted, because if it was them who doubted, they had seen him face to face. There's no way they would doubt. And my life experience tells me there is a way one of the 11 could have doubted. Why? Because me, Chris Johnson, your pastor of 13 years, there have been moments of doubt in my own life. What about you? Now listen, they had seen him face to face. They had experienced him. They had understood what it means to walk with him. But the reality is, there's a lot of proof in this room. You've experienced Jesus. If he saved you, would you say amen? Amen. He's given you. You've experienced it. There is much proof in your life through things that have happened and how God has dealt with you that he is the Messiah and that he is alive and well and working. But can I ask you, have you never had a moment of doubt? Now, I'm not saying that maybe you doubted him as Savior, or maybe you doubted him to exist, but here's how it's worked for me in my life. There has been doubt in my life at times, in moments, that why would he have chosen me? Why would he save me? Why would he use me? Why would he call me? Why would he sustain me? It's often based upon my own actions that those doubts come. But there have been times, moments, fleeting moments where those have been there for me. And I'm assuming I'm not the only one in the room who has ever had such a fleeting thought. So what I would say to you is this, if you can relate, the type of doubt in the Scripture is not explained. It doesn't tell us what they doubted. It just says some of the ones who were worshiping doubted. But I think it is very significant that Jesus is not deterred by a believer's doubt. He's not deterred by someone who has momentary doubt. In fact, he calls them and he commanded them just the same. So if you're here and you've walked with some doubt in your life, can I encourage you to understand Jesus still calls you? Jesus still commands you. You may say, Chris, but my faith is not strong enough to be used by God. There's just no way he could use me. Or you may say, my knowledge of God is not deep enough for me to be able to lead somebody else to him. I'll mess it up. Or you may say, my mind and my heart are not pure enough to be used by God in any special way. There's just no way. Well, if you're writing things down, here's what I want you to write down, friends. He calls the doubting believer as surely as the one with rock-like faith. Let me say it again. He calls the doubting believer as surely as the one with rock-like faith. And what I want you to know is you are part of his narrative. And your mission field counts for the gospel and is counting on you. Now, what will you do with his call? And what will you do with his command? So even if you say, I'm not qualified, he calls you. Even if you say, I've had some moments of doubt about my own life, he calls you. Even if you say, I just struggle from time to time, how could all this be so real? He calls us, and as he's brought new life to you, he's commanding us to go and make disciples just the same. Look at the next verse, verse 18. And Jesus said, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He did not say, all of you that are not doubting, the six of you that are worshiping me, go and make disciples. The three of you that are doubting, not for you. You stay on that shelf right here. No, he says, go and make disciples. And I believe that same God who spoke to the first apostles wants all believers to go and make disciples of all people. So that brings about three questions this morning really quickly. And here they are. Number one, what is a disciple? If you've been called to go make one, what is a disciple? Number two, why are you part of the plan? And why am I part of the plan? And then number three, how do we make disciples once we know what they are and that we're part of the plan? Let's answer those three questions really quickly. Number one, what is a disciple? The Greek word for disciple in the original language is student or follower. It's not complicated in what the word means, but I will tell you this. Search every page of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at every word Jesus ever said. Jesus never used the word Christian. He never called anybody a Christian, but he called them his disciples many, many times. Jesus showed us that it's not so much when you are his follower about taking in information, but it's about transformation. So Jesus didn't want them just to know things about who God was and who he was. Many people knew that. He wanted them to be transformed by that. So your disciple making and your discipleship and you being a disciple starts with the call from Jesus, but it does not end there. Salvation is the beginning process, but disciples grow in knowledge and power through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. If you're writing things down, write this down. Disciples live the Jesus way. That seems oversimplified, but that's the truth. Disciples learn to know Jesus. Disciples learn to live like Jesus. Disciples learn to love like Jesus. And disciples learn to serve Jesus. So if you're going to be a disciple, live the Jesus way. Follow him. Become his student. Invest yourself in his word and in his ways. We can do that. So that's a disciple. But secondly, why are you called to be part of the plan? Why am I called to be part of the plan? A couple of reasons. Number one, in my mind, there could be many reasons though, because God receives glory in your growth and in my growth. Don't we love to watch our children mature? Don't you love it when you see your child and you catch them years later doing something that's a good quality of your life that you've always done and they pick it up and they start to do it? There's something really special about seeing them take that on. Now, when they take on the bad qualities, that's not so special, right? And it's sad and it can be some guilt feelings there as well. But we love to see them mature and grow and walk in the next stage of life. Listen, I'm telling you, it gives God glory when we disciple others and we become disciples and make disciples as we mature. We are giving him glory. So that's a reason. The second reason is this, because abiding in Christ requires experience over information. You can take in a lot of information and still never have experienced something. I think back to the first time that my wife and I made a trip across the country. We were newly married, and I had lived 26 years of my life looking at pictures and seeing videos and seeing it on TV and in magazines. There wasn't much internet back in that time, but I had seen many times the Grand Canyon, but had never been there. But on our way to California, we stopped driving. We stopped at the Grand Canyon. And I went from seeing pictures of it to experiencing it. So you go from looking at it to feeling it, right? You ever been there? If you've been there, you know what I mean. You can look at pictures all day long, but it will not do the justice to what you will feel when you walk up to the rim of the canyon. Now listen, the reality is, I can remember also for years when we didn't have children, hearing stories about people talking about how much you love your child and how much it'll change your life. And I believe that, and I believed it would be an unconditional love, but it wasn't until we had children that we experienced that for ourselves. You can tell people all day long, but when they're there, it changes everything. Now, I could go on and on about different experiences that we talk about all day, but once you experience it, it changes things. And please know that making disciples is experience. It's not just about information. It's not just reading God's word. It's living it out. And so that's one of the reasons we're part of his plan. You are someone's experience in the gospel. Let me say that again. You are someone's life experience in the gospel. Someone is going to grow in their faith because you invest in them. Someone's going to grow in their faith because you pray for them and you pray with them. Someone's going to grow because you're part of that experience. And so that's one of the reasons God's called us. And then the third and final reason I'll mention, though we could say many more, is that another reason you're part of the plan is because God loves multiplication over addition. Now, I don't know if you like math in this room. There's some math teachers in the room. You and I can still be friends, though we don't understand each other. The truth is, I would say to you this, that math is from the Lord. Science is from the Lord. I hate when people try to pit science against the Lord. That's ridiculous. He created every bit of it. Every law of nature that's there was given by him and for his glory. And he made the law of multiplication. It wasn't to torture teenagers in high school. It was made for evangelism. And let me share with you what I mean. There's an incredible difference between one versus many. Jesus didn't tell one of you go make disciples. He told all of us to go make disciples. The best way to explain it is the difference between, think about this, the difference between a million and a billion. We hear the word million. We know how many zeros that is. We can picture kind of what that means. And then you think about a billion and you think you know the difference, but I want you to hear it this way. Here's the facts of the matter. 1 million seconds is 11 and a half days. So if you were to count a million seconds one at a time, you'd be up counting for 11 and a half days. But the difference between a million and a million seconds is 11 and a half days. A billion seconds is 31 years and 8 months. Now, wrap your mind around the difference in a million and a billion. That's huge. It's multiplied multiple times over. It's hard to fathom and believe. And you may say, Chris, what in the world does this have to do with disciple making? Here's why. Discipleship never ends with just you and Jesus. If your idea of your relationship with Christ is just you and Jesus, you are missing what it means to be a disciple. We are all called to multiply and make disciples. All of us have a part to play, not just one, the billions. All of us have a part to play. You say, well, that's really just not my gift, Chris. I'm not gifted at making disciples. Well, if it's not your gift, let me tell you something, it's surely your call. I promise you that. Scripture's clear. You may say, well, that's for people like Billy Graham. He was so good at it, and he led more people to the Lord than probably anybody on the planet ever. He was so amazing at it. That's for people like him. Two things. Number one, Billy's in heaven. So he's not here doing that anymore. Second, the reality is he did lead many people to the Lord. But listen, there have been way more people come to Christ by being discipled by ordinary you and me than by one man who did it in such an incredible way. Multiplication matters. Let me explain it to you this way. I'm going to go back to math one more time. All of you that like scientific things are going to be happy. Everybody else, just hang in here with me for a second. I think this will make sense to you. God gave us multiplication for evangelism. How many people are on planet Earth? I'll give you the answer so we don't have to guess at it. We have recently, for years, we've been in the $7 billion person range for people, but we have recently made it over into 8 billion people. So there are over 8 billion with a B people on planet Earth right now. Let's say that something very significant happens in your life and you, just like Kevin did, you get so excited about sharing the gospel that you want to share a testimony. And I'm so thankful he did that. But let's say you feel that same calling, but instead of you coming and saying, Pastor Chris, can I please just say something for a moment? You say, I got a better idea. You hop in your car, you drive down Highway 431, you stop stop at WQSB, the largest country station in North Alabama. It reaches hundreds of thousands of people in their market, in their area. And so you go in there, and by the way, this will be heard next week. So if you're listening to me and you're driving down the road, do not do this, what I'm about to say. So don't do it. But if you were to go and you were to start beating on that door, it's locked. I keep it locked for safety. I don't blame them. You're beating on that door. Please let me in, let me in. And so you get them to open the door. You come in. We're broadcasting live. Well, not live, but we're broadcasting on the radio, our radio broadcast. And you say, could you please stop that? I got something to say to everybody. Chris said it was okay. And so he did not say it was okay, but be clear. But let's say he did. So you stop it. You get on the microphone and you begin to share the gospel. And your testimony is powerful. What Jesus did for you, it's amazing. You share that, then you tell people, and you give them an opportunity to respond, and 100,000 people across the airwaves respond to your gospel message and give their life to the Lord because of what you shared. That would be amazing. It would be amazing. Let's don't even stop there. Let's say that you shared and 100,000 people gave their life to the Lord today. And then tomorrow you share somewhere else and 100,000 people give their life to the Lord. The next day you make your way to a news station in Huntsville. They let you on the air and 100,000 people give their life to the Lord. The next day you make it somewhere else and 100,000 people give their life to the Lord. It's never been done this way before. Day after day, 100,000 people a day, you share the gospel. They give their life to Jesus. 100,000 people a day for 20 years. Would be 730 million people. That's a lot of people, right? That is slightly less than half the population of China, one country. Now, it would be great. It would make a huge difference. But it's not making a drop in the bucket of the world when it comes to that regard. So let's say that's not going to happen, because here's the secret. That's not going to happen. So instead, we follow God's plan and God's way. When he says, go and make disciples, he didn't just say to go and make converts. And there's nothing wrong with mass evangelism, but that's never been the plan, that we would just make converts or we would have crusades. There's nothing wrong with those things, but he wants us to make disciples. And he says it to everyone. So instead of 100,000 people a day, let's just say you lead two people to Jesus. And you don't even lead two people to Jesus today. You don't lead two people to Jesus this month. You lead two people to Jesus this year. In the next 11 months and 23 days of 2024, you lead two people to Jesus and you disciple them. You begin to teach them the Jesus way and walk with them. You pray for them. You pray with them. You study with them. You encourage them. You answer questions, or you help find an answer when they have one that you won't always know the answer. But you're encouraging them to live it out, and you're walking through life together. So if you lead not 100,000 a day, but two in a year to the Lord and teach them to do the same, this is what the Great Commission and the law of multiplication is all about. Here's the facts. Now, if you wanna do the math for yourself, screenshot it, check it later, but here's the truth. In year one, you lead two people to Christ. That's three people that know Jesus. In year two, the three of you lead two apiece, and the three of you, that's nine. Right? That's simple math. 1 year, three. The next year, nine. The next year, nine of you know Jesus. You each lead two. That's 18 plus nine. That's 27. So year three is 27. Year four, the number goes to 81. Year five, it goes to 243. Year six, it goes to 729. Year seven, it goes to 2,187 people who know Jesus. That would be amazing. Year eight, 6,561. And all you're doing is leading two a year and discipling them, encouraging them to lead somebody else to do the same. Year 9, 19,683. Year 10, 59,049 people would be discipled in knowing Jesus and sharing the gospel. And by year 11, that's the last one I'll do, 177,147 people would be walking with Christ. And you say, well, Chris, it took 11 years that way to get the same number you'd have in 2 days if you could just do it in a mass way and just have a bunch of people respond. But multiplication is God's strategy. How do I know? Keep going. If you were to keep going, just leading two a year and discipling them and encouraging them to grow in their faith and teaching them how to share it with somebody else, just two a year, by year 21, over 8 billion people would have given their life to the Lord. The population of our world is 8 billion people. Can you imagine such a thing? But if me, 2 years in, decide I'm done. It's not my gift. It's not my calling, though it is. I'm not comfortable telling people about Jesus, helping them grow in him. So I stop and I drop out in year three. You know what would happen if just one person drops out that early on? This all falls apart pretty quickly. What's the point of that? The point is this: we all matter in the kingdom. God needs you and God wants you, and God uses you, and God uses me for his kingdom plan. Discipleship never ends with just you and Jesus. If your walk with Christ can be summed up with, it's just me and Jesus, we are certainly doing it wrong. So I want to encourage you to know you have a part to play. Now, I don't want that to overwhelm you. I want you to realize you invest in a friend, invest in someone else. You say, well, I don't know how. What does that mean? Well, the first question was, what is discipleship? It's a follower who's transformed by Jesus and lives the Jesus way. The second one is, why are we a part of the plan? It's because God loves multiplication and you're part of that. He's going to use us. And the third question is, how do we then make a disciple? Here's the answer. It's going to be oversimplified, but I don't believe it has to be complicated. Here we go. The Greek word for go in Matthew 28, 19, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word, every Greek word has six different tenses. It can have six different levels of meaning. This one is a present participle. Now, I'm giving you all the English language stuff I could possibly give you and know, and then I'm done. But this is the truth. It's a present participle. So what does that mean? It means the better way to read it in our mind would be this. Go and make disciples means as you are going. It's not you went. It's not go one time. It's not go in the future. It's as you're going. So it works to say go. But it works to say as you're going. So as you go, make disciples. As you go to work, make disciples. As you go to school, make disciples. As you go to lunch, make disciples. As you go on vacation, make disciples. As you go to the ball field, make disciples. As you go on a mission trip, make disciples. Martin Seagull said it this way, and I shared this quote several years ago. I love it. He says, whether you are writing a sermon at a desk, whether you are selling desks, whether you are putting desks together in a warehouse, whether you are harvesting the lumber that makes the desk, God can use you uniquely and powerfully for his cause in the world. And so understand wherever your mission field is, God says, as you're going, make a disciple. If you are someone who works in a hair salon and you are a beautiful technician who takes care of people in that way, as you're going, make disciples. If you're someone who works in one of our local plants here in the area, we have a lot of industry around here, and you are on a factory line, as you're going, make disciples. If you're someone who serves as a coach for a group of students at Sand Mountain Park, as you're going, make disciples. If you're in the classroom, as you're going, make disciples. If you're retired, as you're going in your neighborhood, make disciples. If you teach Sunday school in this church, as you're going, make disciples. In your family, people God put there, as you're going, make disciples in your home over and over again. So what does that look like for all of us? It's simple. Here it is. Define your mission field. God's got you right where he wants you. You are the unique expert in your situation. There's not another one of us. Now, our mission fields overlap a lot, but yours is different from mine. Your influence is different than mine. Define your mission field. Second, live the gospel. We're going to live it out. And then share the gospel. You say, oh, I don't know if I can share. Let me tell you how simple it can be. Share God's story and share your story. And part of God's story is your story. Talk about how you came to Christ. You might not have been an adult like Kevin who was working out on a power line and had to get out of his truck and get on his knees and give his life to the Lord. You may be like another friend of mine who got down on his hands and knees because he had a major drug addiction and a problem, and he asked God to deliver him and save him at the same time in his bedroom. Or you may be like me who walked the aisle of a church. It seemed like it was 3 miles long when I was 8 years old, walking that aisle to give my life to Jesus and share the gospel and to met people, to give my life to Jesus and receive the gospel, and then meeting my pastor in my living room at my house the next week and him sharing with me and me giving my life to Jesus. Whatever it looks like for you, understand this, you've got a mission field. God's got you somewhere. So share your story, how you came to Christ, and then share his story. Well, how do you share his story? His story is best found in his word. It's not you and I giving our interpretation of his story. It's us reading it from his word. So invest in God's word. And I want to encourage you to invest your own life in God's word to start with. Invest your own life in growing in him. What's the best way to do that? Start to read. We're 7 days into a year. A lot of people say, I want to read the whole Bible in a year. That's great, but you do not have to read for speed. I mean, that's fine if you want to do that. That's a lofty goal and challenge. But I would much rather you read slower and ingest what you're reading than to feel you have to go for speed. But there are Bible reading plans and questions to ask on our website, albervillefbc.church. You can find information there to help you dig deeper into God's word, and no questions to ask on your own. You can always call us for help as well. But the Holy Spirit will use you and the tools he's given you in the Bible to be able to do that. So dig into his word and then begin to understand the scripture that talks about how we give our life to the Lord. and learn that. And so part of what we do in making disciples is we tell the story of God from His Word. We tell our story from our testimony, and then we begin to live that out. The next is invest in someone. Find somebody to invest in. So I don't just mean randomly. Pick someone that you know wants to grow in their faith. They may be just in the same level of spirituality that you are. That's okay. But find someone who wants to grow in their faith and walk with another believer. Maybe they're a new believer. They don't even know Christ yet. They're a pre-believer. They've not received Him yet. So here's what I encourage you to do if you want to disciple someone. First of all, get with them and pray for them. Secondly, pray with them. Physically pray with them. Then study with them. Together, look and find questions and dig for answers and do it together. Then serve with them. Then walk with them. It's done together. So as you're going, you find a partner to do that with and you invest in them. They invest in you. Maybe it goes both ways. But discipleship begins to happen. Parents can disciple their children, but friends can disciple friends. Coworkers can disciple coworkers. Neighbors can disciple neighbors. But the reality is we're all called to make disciples. We learn as we go. You don't have to know everything. When a question comes up, let's search for an answer together and move forward. I don't know all the answers, that's for certain. So there are times I have to say, I'll try to figure that out and get back to you. And I encourage you to do the same. So we learn as we go, but then we learn together. We grow together. We worship together. So friends, as with all the encouragement I can give you today, let me say, Jesus said, go make disciples. That calling was for you. The calling was for me. It was for those disciples. And somebody in that group was even doubting as they were hearing what He said. But maybe they weren't doubting Him so much, but their own ability to be a part of it. Maybe that's you. Can I encourage you? God has called you to salvation, then God has called you to be a disciple maker. You cannot separate the two. So I'm not asking you to figure out who your two are and go make yourself a checklist. That's okay if you want to. But I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to someone you can invest in and pray for and pray with and share with and live with and study with and grow with and walk with. Ask Him to give you somebody to do that with together. Every last one of us, whether you're a teenager or the oldest senior adult in the room, ask Him to give you an opportunity to make a disciple. You are part of His divine plan from the very beginning. God wants to use us. We're part of that multiplication process. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Just a little moment of privacy. If you've given your life to Jesus, He's called you to be a disciple, to be radically transformed by Him and His truth and the Holy Spirit's power, and to pass that on to somebody else. So first of all, would you make a renewed commitment that you'll be part of God's plan? You're part of it, but be an active part of it. Would you make a renewed commitment to do that? Secondly, if you've got someone specific that you believe God's laid on your heart, but you're not really sure how to ask them or how to approach that or how to even begin, just take a moment to pray and ask God to give you some clarity about how to walk into this. Thirdly, of all things, just make a commitment that you will be actively part of God's plan, that you will not sit on the sidelines because of your own momentary doubt, your own situation, your own circumstance. That you'll trust in Jesus, that He still calls all of us to live the gospel for Him. So with our heads bowed, if you're here and you need to respond, in just a moment we'll pray. Maybe you've got a family member, a friend you're praying for that you need to share with, and maybe you've already shared the gospel, but now they need to be discipled, or you know someone who gave their life to the Lord a while back, but they're just stuck in their growth, and you need to be the one to step in and help. I ask you to come and pray for them. You can come kneel here. You can sit on the front row. You can stay at your seat, whatever God tells you to do, but would you pray for them? Secondly, I encourage you, if you did pray to give your life to the Lord, come and respond and let us know. Make public the fact that you've given your life to Jesus. Third, if there's you're willing and you want to make the commitment to be a disciple maker, but you have no clue who to start with, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you direction. Whatever God is saying to you today, would you respond? Father God, I thank You for the people in this room, my faith family. I thank You that we together can make a difference for You. Father, I am 100% convinced that we are better together than me alone. We are better together than any one person in this room alone, that together we multiply for the kingdom's sake. So Father, give us opportunities to make a difference in our community, in our county, in our area. Give us an opportunity to make a difference in our workplace, in our home place, in school, in our neighborhoods. Lord, if we have messed up, if we have failed, if we have sinned in some way and we feel like we should put ourselves on the shelf, may we seek forgiveness and plead your mercy. And then, God, seek to live in honor and move forward because you've called us, even those with a little doubt, you've called us to go and make disciples. Father God, please have your way among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.